We will continue right now with the same sermon from yesterday. Here in Acts 13, the apostle, before bringing his exposition, he said the following, and that is in verse 16, Acts 13, verse 16, second part, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, listen to me. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God must return first. Otherwise, there is no possibility of hearing about divine things. Why do people act the way they do today? Because they have lost the fear of God. If we had the fear of God in us, things would be very different. And even those who consider themselves wise must realize that their own wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of God, and that the beginning of divine wisdom is the fear of God, in the fear of God. And the prophet Isaiah says, blessed is he who trembles at the thought of his word. If we tremble when we hear the word of God, then the matter is right. If we pass over it lightly, it has not addressed us at all. Verse 28 says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. They are now witnesses who have seen and heard him after his resurrection. For believers and unbelievers alike, they knew that he lived and walked on this earth, that he did signs and wonders, that he preached the Sermon on the Mount, that he taught. Everyone who lived at that time knew that after the resurrection, the tide turned. Only the believers, only those to whom he had appeared, and those who had believed them to whom he had appeared, were able to accept and believe it. Everyone else still does not believe to this day that he has risen from the dead. It goes on to say, we're witnesses unto the people, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, how marvelous that these apostles were led by the Spirit of God to the Word of God. They gave a biblical foundation to the events of the plan of salvation at that time, categorized them within the prophetic word, and thus experienced the work of God indeed the confirmation in a tremendous way. We believe that we are now living in a prophetic period again, and that all things must be ordered biblically. Now to the verses that have been read to us, and to it I would also like to read from the Old Testament, from the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1, because this is where what was quoted in Acts is found. Habakkuk, chapter 1, from verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Do you notice? Did see, not heard, but seen, being shown by God in a vision, and then told by inspiration what was to be said. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Did I say that, or did I read it? Have you all been reading? I have read, and not spoken by heart. And right after this verse, it says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. We all read the same thing in verse 41 of Acts 13. And just in the context, when this prophet describes the situation, and then right afterwards the answer, behold ye among the heathen, not look around among the people of Israel, but among the nations. Do you see what this is about? God has built the bridge to the nations through Golgotha. And Paul made it so clear in Acts 13. Let me read it to you, so that you know that it's written like this. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Here, Paul, led by the Spirit of God, summarized things and expounded what had already been given to the prophet Habakkuk. And then he said, now this word is being fulfilled here. And he also took the word of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 49, verse 6 probably, and explained it and showed that the turning point had come, that the time for the Jews had expired and the time for the nations had begun. Are we not now also facing a turning point? May it not now also happen that those who had a share in the covenant and the promises are suddenly no longer available, and that the Lord has to say, those who were invited have not come. Go to the hedges and to the fences and bring in whom you find, both the bad and the good. We do not know, but the house of God will be full. And when the prophet says here, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. The righteous does not ensnare the wicked. He does not set a trap for him. He does not set up a net in hiding. The wicked ensnares the righteous, not the righteous, the wicked. God's word remains eternally true. And this great man of God must speak prophetically. Strife arises. Discord arises. I call to you, and you do not listen. I cry out, and you do not answer. Violence and oppression, everything is there, and you do not answer. And then the worst of all things, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. That's what happens when the wicked ensnares the righteous. And when he tricks him, justice is no longer accepted, because people have lost trust, and wrong judgment proceedeth. Beloved, this is God's word. And then the Lord says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Well, we don't want to believe because we are told. We believe because we experience it. We believe because we ourselves have been touched by the grace of God. Many things are told, and you know very well that when you come back from a journey, as it happened to me too, you give a report, and it's a mighty thing. Evangelists tell of great and mighty things that have happened here or there, and where they are, nothing happens. And then, of course, the listener has the right to ask himself the question, if such great things have happened here and there and everywhere, Why is absolutely nothing happening here now? We want to be among those who get to see with their own eyes what they believe in the depths of their hearts. And as we read last night from the sermon here, that the Lord has only done things to show us what he will do in the end, namely that even greater things are to happen. And that humbles us under the mighty hand of God to an extraordinary degree. And we say, a heap of clay like us, useless for anything good, what should we do at all? And then the Lord says, you don't need to do anything. You just need to let me do it. You only need to be at my complete disposal so that I can do my work through you. As I have spoken my word through you, so I will work my works through you. And in the end, we are only channels through which divine power has flowed. People who have been pardoned by God to have part in what God is now doing. I would like to read on from this sermon on page 16. When you realize, what are we doing here? Where did we come from? Why are we here? We wasn't put here just by chance. We were put here for a purpose, and we must serve that purpose. But still, we are back on the basis of free moral agency, where we can serve it or reject it, just like Adam did in the beginning. We must also take to heart what is said here. On the one hand, God has placed us here for a specific purpose. On the other hand, we can make ourselves available to God, or we can turn away from it. God has not withheld the free choice of will from human beings, down to the smallest and finest detail, and right to the end. Even if we believe in predestination, the predestined must be prepared to say yes in their hearts to what God offers them. God will not force anything on anyone. We are told here that we are not here by chance, but for a very specific purpose, in order to serve this purpose. We believe that with all our hearts. The church, especially in this last period of time, is here for a very special purpose, and we have recognized this divine purpose. It is about the calling out, about the preparation, the completion, but it is also about more. It is about God being able to confirm his word through the church once again in a way like never before, so that the church is legitimized as the church of God through what God does in his church. And we have said what Brother Branham preached, that every seed brings forth after its own kind. And this is already written in Genesis, that every plant has come forth and brought forth after its kind. And we have emphasized, as Brother Branham said, that every church produces more members of the same church. But in the church of the living God, more sons and daughters of God must come forth, not just members of a church, but members of the body of Jesus Christ, people who are born again by the Spirit of God unto a living hope. In the second quotation, we read, if you are a young woman, dedicate your morals. If you are a young man, dedicate your morals. Dedicate your mind. Dedicate your thinking. Dedicate your heart. Dedicate your soul. Dedicate all you are. And let Christ work through that. What a glorious thing. You got some rivers to cross. You got the bridges to go over. You got the briar patches. You got the thickets. You got woods. You got the dark places. You got the high hills and high climbs. What are you doing? Someday you will have to stand and look back and see where you come from. And you are going to be judged by the course you take. Put your all, your mind, and your thoughts on that North Star, the center of God, and don't move from it. Stay right with it. It will bring you straight, like it did the wise men, right straight to Christ. Brother Branham compares the North Star with the Bible as the fixed star necessary for orientation. Here is orientation. Here you don't stand once here and once there. Here we remain where God has placed us, on the infallible, eternally valid Word of God. And that is what Brother Branham wanted to emphasize by saying, this here is this North Star, this Pole Star. And if we have found the Word of God to be so precious in these last days, let us, with God's help, align ourselves completely with it. It says here, dedicate your mind, your thinking, your heart, your soul. Dedicate everything you are and let Christ work through it. That is basically the whole secret of our lives. And Paul summarized it in a few words in Colossians 3, in verse 3. When Christ is revealed in your lives, then we too will be revealed together with him in glory. If a complete surrender and consecration to God can take place, that he can control our minds, our hearts, that he can rule about everything, then it should come about that God can manifest himself in an unprecedented way. Now we may look at ourselves and perhaps also at each other and say, Lord, we have been believers for so many years. We have not succeeded in placing our mind, our thinking, our heart, our soul, our everything so completely at your service. And then it may be that we are somehow inclined to give up and say to ourselves, Lord, we have not succeeded. And it is precisely in this sincere admission and concession that we have not succeeded as we would have liked. Then God reaches out His strong hand to us and calls out to us, what you have not succeeded in doing, I will succeed in doing with you, and I will bring it about in you by grace. And then one thing is emphasized in particular, that it is not man, but God who can work through man. You all know, I have met many people who knew Brother Branham, people who completely reject his message and who are and were totally against him. But one thing they all unanimously testified was that they had never seen such a humble man in their entire lives. They did not talk about the fact that they had not seen a man who had not prayed for the sick or through whom God had not worked signs and wonders. Of all the many things that may have been mentioned, the one that was emphasized was his humility. And I can tell you, a man can pretend to be humble and does not have to be. But the man was humble of heart. And that's the thing. And who molded his heart? Don't we sing in a song, give me a heart like yours, full of the holiest shoots, full of faith and love, a heart like yours for your praise. And that is precisely what we are going to ask for, in order for God to confirm His word. We must have such a heart that is transformed, a heart full of the holiest shoots, full of faith and love, a heart in which God has taken dwelling. I would like to quickly read a few quotes. Now Christ, in this day that we now live in, among the people, He identified that He is still God. He is still God because He is the Word. And when we see the Word living itself, then we know that man can't do that. It is God, the Word, being made manifest by man. And Jesus said Himself, the Son can do nothing in Himself. I can't do nothing. I'm a man. But my Father that dwelleth in me, He showeth me all things that He Himself does. Amen. There you are. What is it? God being identified in man. The same thing is today. God, the promised word for this day, can identify itself in you. Amen. Then can you hold to it? Show that you believe in it. Leave it to God. Believe it. Be ready to serve and be willing to die to yourself and your own thoughts. That is the point. Here Brother Branham uses the same scripture that he has used very often from the Gospel of John 5, verse 19, where it is written, "The Son does nothing, but what he sees the Father do, the Son doeth likewise." In other words, our Lord, the Son of God, did not go about doing what he wanted, but he did the will of God, the Father. We are not here to walk around on earth and say, "Now I do this," or "Now I do that." We are here to do the will of God. And just as God was in Christ and made himself known through him, so Christ is in us to make himself known through us. And here our souls could almost tear apart when we think about the fact that we are not there yet. And yet we look back with grateful hearts at the marvelous things God has already done. Oh, if anyone who has been sitting here or anywhere else all these years under the sound of the Word of God and just gets a little quiet and thinks about how often we receive God's Word fresh from the throne, how often the presence of God has been sensible, tangible, how often the streams of blessing have come down and the supernatural things have happened. Should God not be able to do even greater things? Certainly, our God is faithful. We can rely on him. May he also be able to rely on us. I read on. God guided the wise men with them gifts. God led the wise men because they had the right gifts to confirm that it was the Son. You all know, what was it? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in this sermon, Brother Branham explains the significance of these three things. And the wise men had the right gifts that were necessary to identify this newborn child as the Son of God. And here we are told that because they had the right gifts, God guided them. And we can say that because God led them, they had the right gifts. The one intertwines with the other, and the two are inseparable. And if we have the true Word of God and the true Spirit of God, then the true confirmation of God must break forth, and the Lord must be able to bear witness to himself as the Living One. There is no other way. It goes on here, in this quote, "Oh my, do you get it? Wise men today, wise in the name of the Lord, not with some fictitious something, but with a gift that God promised for this day, and God will guide you to identify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." There you are. And then colon. wise men. The Bible says in the prophet Amos, he who is wise in this time, let him keep silent, for it is an evil time. And it is precisely in this evil and serious time that God has spoken. And after God has spoken, we are told in the prophet Amos, in chapter 3, the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? And who should not speak in the name of the Lord? On the one hand, that we keep silent. On the other hand, that we receive the speaking of God and pass on in the name of the Lord what God has spoken. Here, in this quote, it's short, but very significant. Here we are told, wise people of today, if you are wise in the name of the Lord, not with some fictitious something, but with a gift that God promised for this day, then God will guide you to identify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that everything that needs to be said has been said here. If we have the word that God has ordained for this time, if we have received the Spirit of God, and if we have gifts of the Spirit, divine gifts, yes, if everything divine is put together in this way by grace, then in the end, nothing human remains. Then God can reveal Himself anew here on earth in the midst of His church. And believe me, it's not just about a few people being healed or a few people experiencing or witnessing miracles. It's about much more. It's about what God has planned right up to the resurrection and the transformation and the rapture. And what did Brother Branham just say here? Be ready to serve and be willing to die to yourself and your own thoughts. My own thoughts, I can tell you directly, they are very beautiful. My own thoughts could be something like this. Oh, that God would do something really great and the whole world would take notice. And millions more people would become believers. I don't have bad thoughts. I have really nice thoughts. Lots of them. I speak in folly. I ask you to understand that. What use are your and my thoughts to you and me? No matter how much and how great they may be or contain, if they are not the thoughts of God. Then they are all pipe dreams that will never be fulfilled. Then we are, as the prophet Isaiah said, we are like one who dreamed that he was eating, and when he woke up, he was still hungry. Do you all know that scripture? After all, you know the Bible well. You see, but we are no longer the dreamers. We have woken up. And if God would do nothing at all of what we imagine, then we say yes and amen, and be ready and say in the depths of our heart, Lord, thy will be done. And whatever your will may be, I will accept it. That's how it should be. You all remember the story of Brother Branham, which certainly fits here, when the devil stood next to him, according to his own testimony, when his wife was dying and his daughter was dying, And the devil said to him, God has heard your prayers, and you have preached about a good God who is gracious and merciful and who helps in the times of trouble. And now the time of his trouble was here. And the devil says, why doesn't he help you now? Why isn't he helping you now? Beloved, when we are ready to put our will into the will of God, only then will the Lord have his way. And even though I didn't know what was coming, it was in my heart, and not just since yesterday. If we want the will of God to be done, we must be prepared to put our will into his will, and must be willing from the heart to do what he wants. As it is written of our Lord, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. For in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And he is my delight. If we have our desire for the Lord, and are willing to say, Lord, your will be done, then many things will certainly happen. But here we are also told that the gifts we have and bring to the Lord must also be genuine if they are to entail a genuine working of the Holy Spirit. And here we come to the center of all things. The Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit are given for the edification of the church. Paul says this very clearly through the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, that the gifts and the ministries, everything that comes from the Spirit of God, has been given for the edification of the church. And no one needs to hesitate for a second and say, everything that destroys and tears apart is not from God. Everything that unites and builds up comes from God. And we want the Lord to really reveal himself. I read on. God gave his word so much here and so much there for each age. And then he sent a prophet to make that word come to pass. And next, when he appeared, he was the fullness of all the prophets revealed, for they were a part of the word of the Lord. He himself said, if the scriptures have already called those to whom the word of God went forth gods, how can you condemn me when I say that I am the Son of God? See, even those in that age was identified as gods. God himself called them gods. What were they? They were manifestations of his word. And here was he, the fullness of the word, God embodied, God manifested in the flesh. You all know that in the Gospel of John it is written, when people came to Jesus asking who he was and so on, and they said, you make yourself God, though you are a man. And the Lord then says, is it not written that he called them gods unto whom the word of God came? And these were the prophets. The divine in them was the word. Earthly, it was the same tabernacle in which they were before. But with the coming of the word of God, a divine substance entered the earthen shell, the earthen vessel. And you all know why. this divine substance came into the earthly body so that these earthly bodies would ultimately be transformed and made into resurrection bodies, bodies that can never grow old or be sick again. So, if those to whom the word of God came were already called gods, what about us? Didn't Paul say at one point, we are the offspring of God. After the Spirit, we are the offspring of God. After the flesh, we are the offspring of man. But Christ in us is the hope of glory. And he wants to reveal himself to his people in a new and mighty way. But let us not forget one thing. Let us put aside our own thinking and say, Lord, thy will be done. You have revealed to us in outline what will happen. Let it now be revealed in detail, and you will see God will come into his own by grace. Let us persevere. Let us remain steadfast in faith. Even if the promise tarries, it does not lie. Wait for it, because it will surely come. God will do a work in our days, among the nations, in the midst of his people who are scattered among the nations. We believe this, we know this, and we hold fast to it. Today, we want to ask our God to give us the grace to be at his disposal, so that he can use us according to his will in his time. And if he will give us this, then we are already helped. I believe he has given it to us. I believe that these sermons had more to say to you and me than ever before. And I believe that this divine teaching was so necessary that we are now being aligned and attuned so that God can do the last things. Just the final comment. We all know that people do go into different directions under heaven and all claim to believe the message that God has ordained for this time. And it is nothing but what the prophet Habakkuk said. Strife and discord arise everywhere. And I tell you, where Christ is truly in the heart, there is no strife and contention. Absolutely not. There is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There is the nature and life of Jesus Christ. No one is ensnared there. I mean a person in whose heart Christ dwells. I don't know if I... Well, let's keep quiet and let God speak. He has already spoken in a marvelous way. Let us leave everything to him. Let us entrust his work to him. And he will bring everything out gloriously and do more by grace than we can ask, plead for, or even think. Don't think when I say that we don't want to have our own ideas and that it's not about some being healed and a few miracles happening. It is simply about that everything happens what God wants to happen, and that we don't just set our sights in any direction and think this has to happen now, but that we come together freely and openly before the face of God and say, Lord, reveal yourself in this meeting. Do what you have decided to do today. And we can still say this to the Lord in prayer, that he may bring about in all of us what he has resolved to do in all of us by grace in this morning hour. Have you understood the speaking of God? Do you still remember the word from last night? Probably from 2 Corinthians 2. That spirit-worked content must be combined with spirit-worked language. And that is what is happening in these days. The spirit-worked content of the Word of God has been combined with the spirit-worked language of God and has been presented to us in these last days by grace as God's message. May the Lord bless us all. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Let us now thank the Lord together. Brother Rus, perhaps you will come and pray. Faithful God, we thank you anew also for this precious message that you have given us again by grace. We cannot help but say yes and amen to your word. For your word does not lie. Your word is spirit and it is life. Lord, you commissioned a Paul. He spoke only what you made known to him, O Lord. You commissioned all the prophets to do what was in your plan, and you combined the old and the new. Hallelujah. So we can only rejoice, Lord, in your presence this morning, knowing that we are included in it, that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. O praise and honor, thanksgiving and worship be to your name. Faithful God, make yourself known as you want to make yourself known, Lord. But Lord, we wait for you to reveal yourself. We wait for you to make yourself powerfully known. We are not able to do anything. We say that freely, but you, O Lord, are able to do everything. Hallelujah. Here we are, Lord. Here your people are gathered, Lord. Your chosen multitude, Lord. Not with great and lofty learned words, but you have fed them, Lord, in such a meek way and with lowly words, so that everyone can understand. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship, even in this morning hour. O Lord, bless all your people, everywhere, in all places, your children, Lord. We feel united, whether we are with Salzburg or Zurich, or wherever we may be, Lord, when your people come together, Lord. O Lord, yes, not only here, but everywhere, all over the earth, Lord. May you bless everywhere, your children and your people. We thank you, Lord, once again, O God, because we know your coming is very near, and we feel united, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.